All right, let's open our Bibles today to a couple passages. Philippians 3 and Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk may be a little more difficult to find, but Philippians ought to be right up your wheelhouse, right? Everybody knows Philippians. Again, want to welcome our guests today. I'll be continuing. This is the third part of a series talking about goal setting. Goal setting, how important it is to try to set some goals if you want to try to accomplish some things. For me, I'm a list maker. I like to make lists and keeps me on track for the day, and I scratch things off when I get them done. And, you know, it's good to feel that you've accomplished something, even though maybe it wasn't, maybe you didn't get a lot done, but it feels like you got something done. Week one, we talked about, are we running a race or are we running in place? You know, me, you can tell I don't exercise a lot, at least much as I should, and I'm not real big on treadmills. Treadmills, it just doesn't seem like you're getting anywhere. You know, if I do something, I'd just soon go out and get some fresh air and at least see some scenery when I do things. So that was the first installment. Then last week, we looked at goal setting from the aspect from kind of in the area of faith goals, how to set some faith goals. And both those messages, if you want to check them out and download them, or you can listen to them online, you go to rlfwc.com and hit the sermons tab, and you can catch up on both of those. Today, we're going to look at goal setting from just a little different angle. But I don't know about you, but in my life, I know that it seems like I have to step back every now and then, and I need to take inventory. Because you get into the battle of life, and no matter how great our intentions are, it seems like, you know, we start good and maybe we finish good, but it's a middle that's difficult. It's that messy middle. And that middle is what we have to try to stay fired up about. We got to, you know, it's so easy to start something new, like working out, but then after a week or two, then it really gets, it's no longer fun. It starts to be a job. So you got to try to figure out how to stay enthused. And so we got to take inventory and see where we're at sometimes. And, you know, and I think that we need to get honest with ourselves, and if we're ever going to break that cycle, the cycle of life that we call mediocrity. Now, to me, there's a difference between having a hope in our heart and then having a goal. And we're going to look at that today. Because last week, we looked at the goal setting from the Christian perspective, and today we're going to look at it from more of a business model, but yet it's still cut. We can make it Bible-based. I know that I had, you know, received some of this teaching when I was in Bible school. And we're going to look at SMART goals today, but I'm going to take it a little bit farther to SMARTer goals. There's all kinds of goal setting things on the internet if you look. Some are SMART goals, some are smartest goals, some are smarter goals. I mean, just about anything. And but we're going to look at it today, and I want to read a couple passages before we get started. First one's found in Philippians chapter 3, and that was our kickoff scripture last week. And it's the Apostle Paul. Remember, Apostle Paul was a driven man. He was an apostle that was just like a get-her-done kind of guy. He really went after it, and he pressed himself. And it says here in verse 13 and 14, he was getting honest. He says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forget what lies behind, and I'm reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, I don't know about you, if the Apostle Paul can, you know, have the, I guess, the guts enough to write something like that down that was going to still be read several thousand years later, you know, and given his lifestyle and how what he accomplished for God, I think we can all be honest sometimes and say, hey, I haven't got there yet, but I'm going to get there. Now, Habakkuk, he's one of the minor prophets. And he kind of tells us a little more about goal setting and what we need to do. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I'm reproved." So here he's wanting to seek after God. We as believers, when we set our goals, we need to seek after God. Now, verse 2, he says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay." So here we see the importance that he told the prophet to record it, to write it down. As we looked at last week, you know, it doesn't do any good to have a goal in your head just floating around up there because you'll never probably accomplish it. That's why we need to put them down and put them down in a way that we can succeed. Let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We thank you for your presence, Lord, here in this place. We thank you for the anointed worship and all that you're doing in each of our hearts. Lord, right now we just open up to you and what you have for us. Lord, we thank you that your spirit is just moving right now in our hearts and minds. There's so much that needs to be done. But Lord, we procrastinate, we put it off, we do our own thing. Lord, help us to stay on track. And Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And we bind Satan from stealing the word in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. So, goal setting. The first thing we looked at last week a little bit is the idea on past failures. I suppose everybody here has probably tried to set goals. Maybe you call them New Year's resolutions. You know, I've spent, I don't want to say a lot of money, but quite a bit of money. I remember probably spending $600 on a course when I was in Bible school that was recommended to me about this. And I dusted it off the other day. I have it up on this shelf, and dust was about a quarter inch thick on it. I mean, I shouldn't say that about my wife. Is she still in here? She don't dust up there. How many dusts on top of a bookshelf? Not very many people. And this was hidden up there. And anyway, I got it out, and oh, I just got all dirty getting it out. But it's in cassette form. But I pulled out some of those cassettes just for fun, and oh, it was good. I still remember that guy, you know. And then also, I just recently spent a couple $100s on a goal setting course. Sounds like a lot of money, don't it? But if you can start to get stuff done in your life, if you want to start to accomplish more and to be in a different place, then what is an investment worth? How much are you worth as an investment? You need to look at that a little bit. Now, one of the hardest things, like I said, is to overcome the past failures. And we need to put that behind us because that will stop us. You know, like the guys who never could run the 4-minute mile. You've heard the story. Many people had tried and they never could break it. I think it was Roger Bannister, if I got the name correctly. He broke the 4-minute mile. Then after that, several other people did it. But before that, they said it couldn't be done. Same thing with the sound barrier. When they broke the sound barrier for the first time, nobody thought it could ever be done. So those limitations in life hold us back. And maybe you look at yourself from that old sinner point of view, what you used to be like, your failure, how you used to be maybe an old grouch. Somebody hard to get along with. Somebody that never really, you know, could escalate themselves at work to a place of prominence. You know, maybe those things are limiting you. So we need to break that mold so that we can get ourselves in a different place. Another thing about getting to that new place is a word that we don't like sometimes, and that word is called change. Change. People don't like change. You know, when we decided to change the service time here, it wasn't too bad. A couple people said, you know, I don't know if I like it or not and stuff. But, you know, nevertheless, you know, sometimes change is important on how you do it. Because it's one of the hardest things, enemies to overcome. Here, I read these statistics, and I think they're good. 25% of people abandon their New Year's resolutions after 1 week. That's because they really didn't want to change. 60% of people abandon them after 6 months. The average person makes the same resolutions 10 times without success. After a heart attack, only 14% of people make a change in their diet or exercise. Now, that's hardcore to me, after a heart attack. You know, if only 14% are willing to do something to help themselves, you know, that just tells us how hard change is. And if it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right? But I believe by the grace of God and having a good system. Now, systems are important. Now, this is a little sidetrack I'm going to take for a moment. You need to have a system. Now, I have my keys. My system, and I've told this before, I never set these keys on the kitchen table. I never set them on in the living room. These keys go in one place. They either stay in my truck ignition, or I set them on my dresser in this one spot. I never put them in. I never have to look for my keys. It's just a system. How many people have lost their keys. They don't remember, oh, did I hang them here? Did I put them here? And that's just a simple system. So systems are important because they save time and you get less stressed out. So that's just a little baby system, and you know, hopefully you have some systems. I like Mike Murdoch. He has a lot of one-liners. If you ever get one of his books or get a chance to see him on TV or anything. He said, if you want something you have never had, you must do something you've never done. So that's how we break that cycle. That's how we break that mold. So we need to get that. So we need to get to the area where we want to break that change barrier. Well, when we get to that place in our life where you finally decide that I want to break that change barrier, I don't want to stay the same. Sometimes when people hit their midlife crisis, they think about this. Because they know that their life is drawing closer to the end and they want to start to accomplish more. Number one, we got to see that it takes more than hope or resolutions. What I think we need to do is we need to, number one, decide, then define, and then desire. You got to decide you want to change. You got to define what you want to change. And the only thing that really makes it ever work in our life is you got to desire it. As we looked at last week, you know, if you write down goals for your kids, how many know they probably won't do them? Because their heart's not in it. Your goal for them might be that I want to see my kids take out the trash every day. Or every day they're supposed to take the trash out. Well, that's your goal. That's not their goal. Right? They have a different goal. They want to sit around and eat tater chips and watch TV. And they usually accomplish that goal. So we need to learn how to do it. So it comes down to about how to set written goals with action points. You write your goals down, then you write them in a way that it can drive you to get them done. As I mentioned, don't let past failures frame your future. And that goals need to help in behavior modification, because that's the thing. Our behavior is usually set in a certain way. Because I don't know about you, but I can get in a rut. Sometimes you come home, you're tired. You don't feel like doing anything. So the first thing you do, you sit down, you start to veg out, and then you have in your intention that I want to accomplish, maybe I want to read this book. But how many know it's easier to watch TV than read a book sometimes? They kind of read to you then, right? So it's easy to fall in that trap, but if you want to modify your behavior, then we need to do something different. Okay, we're going to look at smarter goals today. As I mentioned in the 80s, back when I went through some of this, it was called SMART goals, and that's all good. And then some people came up with some other extra letters, but I added an extra R today, so we're going to do SMARTER goals. Number one, if you're going to write a goal down, and I hope some of you wrote some down last week and started to do some faith goals. But today, as we do this, this will kind of reiterate some of that. Number one, we need to be specific. You know, if you're going to set a goal, it needs to be well-defined and not vague. You know, it's hard to run a race if you don't know where the finish line is. That's what Habakkuk was talking about here. You got to record the vision. You got to write it down so that you can hasten towards it or move quickly towards it. You know, I don't know about you, but when I used to go for a jog, now I go for walks. I usually have in my mind where the finish line is. You know, I know where I'm going to start. That's my house. But I just don't go for a walk and then decide, you know, where I'm going to end up a little later. I usually say I'm going to walk around this deal, and it's about 2 miles or whatever. 40 minutes, that's what I like to walk for. But so you have some sort of idea of where you're heading, where you want to be. You know, if we got to figure out where we are now and then where we want to be. And one of the questions I believe when we write goals is that we need to settle the why question. Why am I wanting to do this? Why am I wanting to do this? I remember I lost weight probably 5 years ago or so. And the reason why I did it, and I don't know if I ever told this story. I was on one of Caleb's baseball practices, and I was out in left field. And I used to be a great athlete, at least good anyway. It gets better every year as I remember it. But a little fly ball came out there. I chased that ball down, and I ended up in a pile. I just went down, just all uncoordinated, just, you know. No, and I knew it was because I was overweight. So I started to set goals. I started to do some things. And I accomplished my goal. Well, then after I accomplished my goal, in my head, I decided, well, this ain't that fun anymore. I'm going to eat what I want. You only live once anyway, right? So then the weight came back on. So I need to kind of hit a happy medium there. But the why I wanted to do it is because I felt embarrassed. I felt embarrassed, and I didn't like that feeling. So that is why I accomplished that goal. That might not have been the best reason. You know, I should have maybe did it because I want to stay healthy. I want to feel better about myself and things like that. Then maybe I would have, you know, decided to stay with the system or whatever. So the why question is very important. So the first one is be specific. What do you want to do when you set your goals? Number two, you got to make it measurable, or you got to quantify your goals. Instead of walking 3 times a week, you need to say, I'm going to walk 3 times a week for 40 minutes a time. Because that means that you've already put yourself in a box, meaning I'm going to do this for 40 minutes. Because sometimes if you decide, well, I'm just going to go for a walk, you walk around the block, oh, that's good enough. You got to get your heart rate up. And that's going to take you probably 30 minutes to get your heart rate up if you walk, give or take, depends how your health is. You know, some of you walking, you're so, like Jason could probably walk for a day and never, you know, break a sweat, you know, because he runs all the time. But us other people, you know, you can walk a little bit. Once you get your heart rate up, then your body starts to do better. So you got to set a goal that meets that criteria. Now, if I set the goal, I'm going to walk to Lavelle and back every day, I'd never keep that promise, would I? I'd get old quick. I mean, to walk 8 miles there and 8 miles back, I'd be, you know, you'd probably have your thumb out trying to get a ride. You know, because that's something that you wouldn't want to do. You know, another goal might be to invite one person a week to church. You know, and wording it that way instead of, I'm going to invite more people to church this year. In 2015, I'm going to invite more people. Well, that's all, you know, vague. But if you say, I'm going to invite one person a week to church, well, that's a well-defined goal. And it's got an action word. The word is invite, right? Now, you know, there's other things you can do. So, number one, you have to be specific. Then you have to be measurable. Then you need to use action words. And the next word for smart is the letter A, and it's actionable. And we need to use verbs when writing our goals, action verbs. Instead of writing down, I want to be more consistent in reading my Bible, you would say, I'm going to read 2 chapters of the Bible in the morning before I go to work. That's well defined. You've got a goal, you've said how you're going to do it, and you're good. So that means you got to think about, if I'm going to read 2 chapters, you're talking maybe what? Depends how fast a reader you are and how big the chapters are, of course. You're talking 5 to 10 minutes of your life, which will make a big difference in your spiritual walk. So that means you got to factor in 5 or 10 minutes. You know, maybe you have to get up 5 or 10 minutes earlier. Maybe you have to turn the TV off for 5 or 10 minutes. You know, whatever the case may be. So those are actionable. I believe one of the best things that we can learn in life and goal setting is you got to learn how to plan backwards. Planning backwards. A lot of people haven't developed this skill. I work construction as an electrician. So when I think of things, what I want to get done, I look at the end result and I factor in how many minutes or hours it's going to take to do this. And so that tells me how long I need to allow for that job or that day. And that helps me to get stuff done. Now, another one, which is would be a good one, you know, is to how to get to church on time. Amen? That's one we kind of beat today. And that's good. You know, if church starts at 10:30 and it's a 5-minute drive, that means you got to leave by 10:25, but that don't usually work, right? Because you never get loaded up in the car and out the driveway, and there could be a train. So you might need to allow another 5 minutes, so maybe 10:20. So in your mind, you set a place mark, and it says, I have to leave at 10:20 to be there on time. And that's very easy, isn't it? And then if you're in leadership, in the sense where you're leading worship or ushering, we're like you're at 10 after 10. So then you got to, you know, maybe refactor in something a little bit different. But starting the plan backwards helps us to get there. It's important. You know, when I was in Bible school, the reason why I used time, and I was thinking of these SMART goals, Pastor Greg, he's the one who taught this class. You know, he always said, if you're late, it's a sign of rebellion. Because he didn't like it when kids walked into class late. I remember my first time going to Bible school, I was nervous. Because I'd only been saved 2 months. And I went there and I was late and I heard him singing songs. I turned around and left. That was the morning class because I knew I could go at night. But I did not want to go in that place late. For whatever reason, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't get my courage up. And I turned around and went back. And then, anyway, I made it. But anyway, that was his big thing. And I always got a kick out of him. So we need to define action steps for each goal. Number one, let's say if you're going to read your Bible in the morning before you go to work. Well, your action steps, number one, you got to get a Bible. If you have electronic one, make sure it's plugged in, right? That you got a charge on, you know. If you get your charge on your electronic, you get your charge spiritually, right? You know, I like the book. I always read out of the book. I've had this Bible, I don't know how long. It's kind of falling apart a little bit, but that's all good. I prefer reading this over. I don't know why. I just don't like reading computer screens. I'll do it, but I don't like that as good. I like this better. So I know where I lay my Bible. And since I turned about 53, I have to have some of these. So my action list would say, make sure I have reading glasses. One of the most frustrating things there is when you're trying to read something and you can't see it. Right? So just those little things. So then I sit down and I read my Bible and I factor in enough time for that. And then I accomplish that goal. And the best thing I got, another action step might be to get a Bible reading plan. Now I've had this one for years and I have copies of it. I carry this in my Bible. Because how many know, excuse me, if you're going to read the Bible, a lot of you are going to read your favorite parts. Right? It's just human nature. You know, most people at the supermarket, you don't buy everything at the supermarket, do you? You usually have your favorites. You go pick certain things down certain aisles. Well, it's like that in the Bible. Some people just pick certain passages, and that's all they read. It's okay to read your fun ones, but you need to read the whole thing to get a balanced diet. So you need to get a Bible reading plan. You can get them online. I have a copy of this I can give you, whatever the case may be. And then each day, that puts me on track to accomplish what I've done. Now, the reason why I started this, the church I went to, the pastor's wife, she really pushed reading through the Bible in a year. And I've read through the Bible every year since 1985. Every year I read through the whole Bible. But it comes by starting a plan, and I do action steps to get it done. All right. Next, want to be realistic. Realistic. Now, I know this is maybe not just Bible teaching, it's practical stuff, but I believe me, if you accomplish and get some of this behavior modification inside you, it will make you more spiritual. You'll feel better about yourself. So goals need to be outside our comfort zone, but not out in outer space. You know what I mean? You don't want your goals out there, something that you could never attain in a million years. You know, our goals should take us to the discomfort zone. But that's because that's where change happens. You know, if you want to do something, if you want something you've never had, you're going to have to do something you've never done. And new things are scary. You know, I remember watching the worship leaders, different times they've got up on the stage and it was their first time leading worship. You know, it's a little nervous. You watch them, but after a few times of doing it, you know, they get used to it and they start to get into a system. Then it starts to be work for them. Now, an unrealistic goal for me or most people would be, I want to be a pro golfer. I don't even golf, so that would be really unrealistic. But a realistic goal would be, I want to shave 2 strokes off my game. That's probably doable. I don't know how hard that would be, but I suppose if you work on your putting game or your other game, the driving game or whatever, chipping game, whatever you do. I play tennis. You know, that's a man's sport. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, you can do things to help yourself. And then you could do it. So make your goals realistic. Next, the T in SMART is timely. And this is the one where we usually mess up a little bit, is you need to give yourself a deadline. If you don't give yourself a deadline on a goal, you will probably never accomplish that goal. So goals have to have a deadline. Dave Ramsey, you've heard of him. He's the financial counselor, has a lot of excellent material out there about finances. He says a goal without a deadline is merely a dream. And dreams are okay, but dreams, unless they have legs, will never get done. I believe a deadline propels us to action. And without a time frame, there's no sense of urgency. So let's say you wanted to lose weight. I want to lose 20 pounds this year. Well, how many is going to wait till November before you start that deal? We all are, wouldn't we? Most of us would probably wait till November. But if you say, I'm going to lose 20 pounds by June 31st, well, that changes your whole dynamics of this situation, don't it? That means you got to factor out, I got about 3 or 4 months here, and you got to cut out, 3,000 calories to lose a pound? Is that correct? Anybody's done that before? Some of you guys ought to know that. Nobody? 3,000, Jason? Okay. So here's how I did it when I lost weight. I got a little gizmo on my smartphone, and it told me how many calories stuff was, so I counted calories that way. And it put me on a restricted diet. But now there's a trick. If you're willing to go out and walk a while, that'll buy you a candy bar, man. You know what I mean? Now you can trade them that walk in for a candy bar, or you can not eat that candy bar and take that in loss of weight. Right? You know, so it's all choices. All choices you want to do. So, but deadlines are very important. Next, you got to make your goals exciting. Need some passion to get behind the change. You got to really want it. You know, desire is a driving force towards excellence. And if you really don't want it, you probably won't get it. As I said, if your husband or wife or friend is telling you that you need to do this and you don't want to, you won't do it. It's got to come from you. So make sure you make it part of what you want to do. Then it needs to be relevant. I'm kind of winding up here. Means it needs to be appropriate for where you're at in life. Goals for a single mom with three kids under the age of 10 may have different goals than a mom with a child that is 16 years old. You know what I mean? That single mom with three kids under 10, their goals have to fit their schedule. And with all that extra responsibility, their goals may not be as large as somebody who has maybe more time. Usually when you get your kid to 16, they can pretty well take care of themselves, right? Hypothetically, that's the goal anyway. So, you know, so goals are different. So make them relevant to yourself and what works for you. We're all at different seasons in our life. So just kind of factor that in. And last one for smarter, the last R I added is you got to review them. And this is what we forget. You know, we need to review our goals to make progress. You know, you need to set a day, maybe Sunday night. Maybe you've already written down your goals. If you haven't, I encourage you to do some today. Set some goals and do a three-part, your spiritual goals, your emotional goals, and then your physical goals. Because man is a spirit, soul, and a body, right? You're a three-part being. So you need to factor in a balanced life. And so your spiritual side should be first. Secondly, your emotional, that ties in relationships with family and spouse or friends and or whatever the case may be, and or maybe changing yourself. Maybe you're shy and you want to be more outgoing. So then maybe during the meet and greet, that would be a good time for you to go out and, you know, they don't know you're shy. You're the only one that knows that. But that's a good time. You tell yourself, I'm going to go shake some people's hands today and come out of that shell. So you do things like that. But review them. And like I say, set a day, make modifications. If you set your goals too high, you're not going to make it. Modify it so you could. That's why it's good to maybe write them in pencil, not ink, right? Pencil's okay. You can erase it and change it. Maybe 3 pounds a week loss is too much for you, right? That's tough. Maybe a pound and a half or a pound a week. You know, you can cut 3,000 calories out of your diet in 1 week. So that would help. Like I said, balance is the key. So that's just a little bit of the business model. You can look these up on the internet, some of them, and you can find out. But what I really feel would help, and I shared this last week, is that the last part we need in the review part is, I think, if you've tried this and you're the person that has done the same goals for 10 years and they haven't worked, you might need an accountability partner. Somebody that you'll listen to. If your marriage is stable enough, maybe your spouse. Amen? You know, how many of, you know, maybe, oh, this is, oh, I don't want to get too far off here. But maybe you and your spouse have decided we're going to lose some weight. Then your spouse pulls out a bowl of ice cream. You really want that? Are you sure you're going to eat that? You know, you get that tone where you're condescending on them. You know, your marriage may suffer if it's not strong enough to handle that. But it's the best if you could, because they're around you all the time. But find somebody for an accountability partner, and I believe that'll help you to accomplish what you want to do. Amen? So smarter goals, and they will get us to where we need to be. I believe that the body of Christ is somewhat inefficient sometimes. Sometimes we get to the think, well, you know, if God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. You know, I don't know. Be to it according to your faith, I guess, in that area. But, you know, God's not going to knock that ice cream cone out of your hand, what I've found. He won't. He won't do that. He's not that mean. He's a good God, you know. He wants you to enjoy yourself, because if you die early, you get to be with him quicker, right? You know, he wants to, yeah, maybe he wants to see you. No, I'm just kidding. You know, so, You know, set some goals. Let's make a change in 2015. Let's see how far you can go. You know, and let's go from glory to glory. But it comes by a starting point, but you got to have an ending point of where you want to be. Let's pray.